Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and hosting our site, WPCoffeeTalk.com. Now on to our episode. Welcome to the next edition of WP Coffee Talk. I am here this lovely day in Rochester, New York with one of the people that I work with, Matt Cromwell, who's in San Diego. And you just finished Comic-Con out there in San Diego, so maybe traffic's a little less crazy today. I don't know for sure, but
it doesn't matter. I'm working from home, so all good.
No traffic in that case for sure. That's awesome. Exactly. And Matt, you and I have worked together for a little over a year and a half now. It's hard to believe that much time has gone by already. But
I know. Great. Technically,
Matt's one of my bosses because you are one of the owners of Impress.org. But tonight we're on equal playing ground because we're on a podcast, and so it's not work-related, which is always fun.
We're always on equal playing ground.
Well, and you know, that's one thing I was going to say is that the people at Give, the people at Impress, I've never felt like there's just this like verdict that get handed down. I feel like we really are a team. And even though you guys ultimately call the shots, I feel like everybody's voice is heard, and it's why it's one of the great places to work. Why I love being there.
Yeah, so. Except when it's like, hey, log off, you're done. That's a verdict I like to give.
Have you ever said that to me?
A couple times.
I know, like, I put in my vacation request today, and you're like, it's about time, young lady, you're half a year and you haven't taken any time off yet. And I say, young lady, as the oldest person in the company, I call myself young lady. But yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Matt, and I live here in San Diego, California, with my wife, who's from Germany, and our four kids, and our two cats, and our three chickens, and having a good time out here, trying to have as much farm as we can in this big city. Like Michelle said, I'm one of the partners and head of support and outreach at Impress.org. And Give is our big plugin, and we love doing it. We love empowering over 60,000 causes all over the world, and working hard on doing even more of that. I also love just working with my team. I'm very fortunate to work with some of the best people in WordPress, and fortunate that I got to hire them at all, that they work for us. It's something that I'm really proud of, and that's the long and the short of it.
The long and the short of it. I love it. Well, we definitely have a great team. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit in a little while about what a distributed team, or what I call us a semi-distributed team, because we do have some offices. But we'll talk a little bit about what that means to you in a little bit, too, because I think that's something that's really important in our field. But first, show me your mug. What do you got?
I cheated.
Okay.
I have a glass.
Okay.
Because it's hot in San Diego, so this is a homemade iced coffee with lots of ice cream, sugar, like all the good stuff. But it's very cold, very icy, so I cheated, but it's wonderful. I wouldn't call myself a coffee snob, but really good coffee is important.
And is there any special story to your glass, or is it whatever came out of the cupboard first?
Those are just our glasses that we've always had for years and years now. I think we may have brought them over from Germany even, actually. They're very multi-purpose and great for all kinds of things. We like them.
Well, go ahead.
I also have a bottle. I'm also a home brewer. You can't really see. Ooh. This is like, and I bottled my first beer of the year today. And this is a whiteboard paint. But
cool.
You could tell that the dry erase is not really coming off anymore. So I kind of brought two things along.
So what kind of beer are you brewing?
This one's an IPA. It's San Diego. I mean, kind of standard. But San Diego's moving slowly away from IPAs, but I'm not. I still like them.
Although a lot of people still enjoy them. Well, I'm not looking for brownie points or anything, but I do have my Give Mug. And I am drinking it left-handed, otherwise only I get to see the logo, as we like to joke around about. And I have white wine in my glass tonight. It is 7
it's like 7 there, right?
It's 7 here, and I thought if I'm going to drink wine with anybody, I'm going to drink it with Matt. So I've got some white wine in my glass tonight. So
the Give Mugs are also multi-purpose.
They are. Well, you know, that green inside, that's perfect for wine. So It's my story and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, if I get sillier as the talk goes on tonight, you'll know why now. So
I'm planning on seeing that for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. So how did you get started? I actually don't know a lot of the answers to these questions, so this is going to be pretty cool for me. A lot of people that I've interviewed that I've known for a while, I know some of their story, but I don't know how you got involved with WordPress. So tell us your WordPress story. I'm going to sip my wine.
Yeah. So, well, you probably don't know because I tell it different every time. It's very varied. Overall, I was pursuing higher education as my career path, and that required a bit of international education experiences across different colleges, and it cost a pretty penny too. And so I was supplementing my education by building websites for churches, and I really started with just HTML, CSS, and Notepad++, and I was proud of it. And I thought I was building the most awesome, cool things at that time. At one point I was really trying to start making some actual money, with some of these things to actually fund more than just ramen for my education. And so I reached out and I had a couple of friends who were doing that for a living, and they were like, sure, you can build some sites for me. Do you know how to do WordPress? And up until that point I had only ogled over something Kubrick, because Kubrick was doing some CSS stuff that I thought was so cool, and I was like, oh, I have to do this WordPress thing in order to play with Kubrick? That's no fun. I even got on forums, and I was like, where can I find just like the HTML for Kubrick? And they were like, that doesn't work that way, man. Move on. They just were like, any WordPress? I was like, sure, I'll figure it out. And I just jumped in head first. And that particular friend, his name's Adam McLean. He still works here in San Diego. And he immediately threw me in the deep end by introducing me to the Advanced WordPress Facebook group, which was a total of like 50 members at the time. At the most. I found out that they had a local meetup. So I started going, and that's where I met Devin Walker, at that meetup. And, I also at the same time got a part-time job with Adam, Werner, doing, food plugins, doing support for them. At that time, basically that combination of jumping into WordPress, advanced WordPress, meeting Devin, working for Adam, like all those things all happened in a very short amount of time. And they all ended up being like some of the majorly influential things that put me on my WordPress career path, more or less. They took several years to flesh out, but they all started basically in 2012-ish. That was exciting. Adam Werner brought me out to my first WordCamp ever, which was in Miami, which is, as a lot of people know, the biggest WordCamp in North America besides US. And that was my very first one. And it was crazy and fun and great. And it's been all uphill from there, basically. So,
but it's been a good journey, right?
Yeah, varied and different, and what I do today is very, very, very different from what I did back then. So
yeah, that's awesome. What's something that you think that first of all, you and I look at a ton of websites on a daily basis. We look at our customers' websites, we look at other people's websites, we help in the community, that kind of thing. When you look across the board, and obviously not singling anybody out, but what do you think are some things that people need to focus more? To make better websites, what are people skipping?
Two things that kind of overlap. I would say do more with less. And the best way to do more with less is with excellent content, whether that be the words on the page, the navigation, imagery, video. People often are so focused on what theme they're going to use. Without having a real vision of what's the message that they're trying to convey. We work with nonprofit organizations. I'll land on a nonprofit homepage and it feels almost like a directory because there's so many columns of lists of things everywhere. And within a few minutes of looking at the homepage, I still don't know exactly what they're trying to do. It's just too many things all happening in one place. Don't cram it all in, keep it simple, do more with less. And I think the best way to do more with less is with really good content.
I agree with that. Did you say you had two things or was that kind of all wrapped together?
No, that was the two things. Do more with less and focus on the content. Gotcha. I think you can do more with less by focusing on the content.
Gotcha. Two in one. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that that's true. As a matter of fact, I looked at one today and it looked like an Amazon website almost with so much content on the homepage that it was hard to figure out what you were supposed to do and where the eye was supposed to go. So yep. Absolutely. What's something that you wish you had known when you got started with WordPress that you've learned since that might've made the journey a little easier?
Mm-hmm. Well, nowadays it's a lot more prolific, but back when I was first starting, I really wish I knew a lot more about staging sites and developing locally. Instead of basically like only working on a live site with like a coming soon page or cowboy coding it all the time. The things that people can do nowadays that especially developers can do with their local environment and pushing it live relatively easily. Like when I started, man, that was way super advanced stuff that was really difficult to accomplish. And now there's so many great tools available. But even if I didn't have all those tools way back then, I think the benefits are still there if I would have just known how significant it was at the time. So staging environments, developing locally, I wish I would have done better at that.
Yeah, me too, actually. One of the first sites I built that was a rebuild and not a brand new site. So you mess up a brand new site, well, you have a lot of coding to do, whatever. You have a lot of fixing to do. But and when it's live and that kind of thing. But what I didn't know was how to move a site to migrate a site because I'd only ever worked with like Dreamweaver, that kind of thing, where you just constantly FTP'd it up. And so I thought I could move a WordPress website that way and soon discovered everything was broken. I didn't know it was recoverable, so I actually ended up rebuilding the entire thing in one night because of that kind of error. So I am 100% with you on that one. That was a hard learn. When you think over all of the WordPress meetups and WordCamps and things that you've been to, what's a moment for you that you would consider maybe a pivotal moment or an aha inspirational moment, either whether as speaking as a speaker or in the audience or in the hallway track?
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of them. I think I might have to cheat and give you a couple.
That's fine.
Like I grew up in evangelical circles and I was asked to teach often and preach even. And so there, I had this sense of, grew up with a lot of privilege. I had the sense that when you are asked to present things, that's significant, you know, that's when people like look up to you and respect you, that kind of thing. I think a bit differently now. But at the time, it meant a lot to me when Alex Vasquez came up to me and said, hey, you should submit to speak at WordCamp Los Angeles. For one, because Los Angeles is just such a big city. It just felt like, oh my gosh, I've arrived if I'm speaking in LA. But it just was the sentiment behind it. Similarly, when Adam Warner was excited to bring me out to Miami and work with me and kind of gave me my first kind of like taste of product development and product work, that was a big deal. And then, of course, partnering up with Devin and Jason Knill has been definitely one of the big significant moments for me personally. And it's kind of hard to think of who I am today without that. Like, I don't know who I'd be.
I was thinking back over that when I was thinking about what we might talk about on the show today. And I was thinking about the fact that when I first met you guys to sign my paperwork to become part of the organization, I met up with you at the first WordCamp that was in Nashville. And it was you three and Ben and Kevin. And so there were five of you representing, and that was the company pretty much that was here in the US at the time. Fast forward 1 year, and there were 10 of us in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's how much, you've doubled the growth of the company in just a year. And now we have more than that. So I actually don't know how many people we have working right now because I've lost track, but there's about 16, 17 at least.
I think 18. We 18, just hired 18. Mike Hale on as a product manager, and I think he's number 18. Several are part-time, but I think altogether we're about 18 folks now.
And that's not insignificant. That is pretty exciting. So
yeah, in terms of like numbers, employee numbers, for a WordPress shop, it's not small.
And it represents significant growth in what we do at Impress. So tell a little bit about, whatever your thoughts are about Impress and the plugins that we develop and what you do with the community and with us.
Yeah, I mean, what I like about what we do really is the reason why we have so many folks is because we need that in order to serve our customers best. I think it's a direct reflection of the priorities we have as a company, that our priority isn't maximizing profit with the least amount of employees possible, paying them all the least amount of money possible. Like, that's not our priority. Our priority is serving our customers as best as possible, giving dignity and respect to all of our employees. So we're building out a team that can do great things. When we say that Give wants to democratize generosity and that impress.org means code for good, those things mean something. We try to back that up with action, not just platitudes. And in order to do that, it takes work. I know other product shops, theme shops, plugin shops that have a smaller support team than we do, even though they have far more support tickets than we do. We have a little bit of a larger team for the amount of tickets that we get, because we want to give our customers high attention. It's a big deal. And customer success, what you and Amanda and Jeff do on your side are a big part of what that looks like and what that means. So we have essentially helped to all of those people in terms of pre-sales and in terms of post-sales, which is more of what your team does, and also technical support, which is what our team does. And those are a lot of people. It takes a lot of people to do all those things. But our nonprofit organizations are worth it, essentially.
So. But we don't just supply those things that you mentioned. So it's not just about, calling new, my team calls new people, new customers, and welcomes them and offers assistance. It isn't about just doing demos and those kinds of things, but everybody on the team contributes through our blogs. And through their local meetups and our nonprofit meetups that we now have in Rochester and San Diego, and the online community, the greater community. So tell a little bit about how you guys encourage us to do other than what's just the basic job description.
Well, this is kind of a mantra I've had about hiring in general for a while now. We hire for folks who are passionate about WordPress. We don't get random folks into our company and then be like, all right, now you need to do WordCamp stuff, and now you need to do meetup stuff, and now you need to get interested in all this other stuff that you've never done before. It doesn't work that way. We hire folks like you who are already super passionate about WordCamps and meetups and things like that. They're already invested. They're already there. And so we hire for those things in the first place. But we're always encouraging it. We have had a long stint in which we were very, very strong sponsors of lots of camps, and we've backed off of that quite a bit just for a lot of different reasons. Budget is a big one, of course. For a small team, it's expensive to fly folks everywhere and sponsor everything. We're not backing off of our contributions to WordPress in any way. Just because we're not sponsors as often doesn't mean we're less of a WordCamp our WordPress community supporters. The way that we contribute through WordPress.org on the support forums and on the different teams across the board, marketing team and other teams as well, forums team, documentation. I've been working on documentation for a while. lots of ways we contribute there. We like to support Do Action, which not a lot of people know about Do Action, but it's essentially a sponsored by the WordPress Foundation. It's basically an official type of WordCamp in which nonprofits come for a weekend and get their get free WordPress websites built for them from the WordPress community. There's several of them throughout the world now. It started in South Africa. So we help with that when we can. It's a long list. I could keep talking, but we try to encourage as much participation as we possibly can.
Yeah, and it's exciting stuff too. And it's not just about Give. So we have our new plugin. It's actually, we're coming up on the first year anniversary of the release of WP Business Reviews. And so it's not Give related at all. It's something else that we're doing, but it's exciting because it's taking us in some different directions, and it's fun to kind of support two different plugins at the same time and be able to help people grow their businesses, whether they're nonprofit or for-profit organizations. That's kind of cool too.
For sure.
So that's been a lot of fun.
WP Business Reviews has a great focus on providing tools for small businesses, for mom and pop shops. They end up sometimes being large businesses too, but I think the similarity is the focus on giving solutions to people who aren't necessarily, you know, big budget developer shops. You know, these are folks who are salt of the earth kind of business owners who are working their butts off all week long and then cowboy coding on the weekend. You know, they need a really straightforward donation solution, or they really need to, an easy way to embed social reviews on their website. We try to provide those solutions for them.
Yeah, and I love the diversity of our customers too. So, you know,
across the gamut.
Absolutely. And so that's pretty exciting too. And all over the world. So we're not just focused in any one particular place. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What are some of the, like, I know you've done a ton of different talks at WordCamps. Let's focus on WordCamps for a second. What's the favorite talk that you've ever given, and why was it your favorite?
I did a talk at LA called OMG, We're Building Dinosaurs. It's essentially that that line from Jurassic Park where he says, you got so wrapped up in the fact that you could, you didn't think about whether you should, you know, that Jeff Goldblum quote. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing was basically like the kinds of things I wish I knew when I was first building out my first WordPress website. You know, 40,000 plugins. Oh my gosh, let me install them all right now. Like, just because you can doesn't necessarily mean you should. So I just had a lot of fun with a lot of like Jurassic Park GIFs and also, you know, things that I really literally was trying to be very helpful and constructive with giving people some best practices, legs to run on, things like that. So I'm going to cheat again. I'm going to cheat again because there was another one also at LA. I don't know why LA gets all my best talks, but I gave a talk on scaling support, on scaling your support team.
Oh, and yeah.
I really, it's a subject I'm really, really passionate about. And I really expected there to be nobody in the room. I mean, like, I don't, like, how many people really want to talk about that subject? But it was totally full. I was really surprised. And I was really happily surprised how engaged and interested everybody was in the subject too. So that was a fun surprise and a cool talk.
You know, you just made me think of something too. If we're going to be in the same place and time, we should totally submit a talk sometime about the difference between customer success and customer support from the same team and from our own perspectives. I think that could be kind of fun to see too.
For sure.
I mean, absolutely. At least to us, it's interesting. We'll see if other people think so too, right?
I mean, start with what you know, like this stuff is interesting and it's powerful. And if they're not interested, then they should be interested.
Exactly. But yeah. It's a lot of fun. So moving into our rapid fire questions, I ask them rapidly. You answer with as much time as you need. If you were talking to somebody who's building their first website or their first, you know, first getting into building websites, either for themselves or for somebody else, what are two or three plugins that you would recommend that they use and why?
Email log. Emails are hard in WordPress, so it's really helpful to know if your emails are being sent or not. User switching. I love that plugin. It's so useful all the time. I really like utility plugins that just help me do my job better. So user switching helps you to switch your admin user to any user throughout the whole website so you could see what they see. It's really, really like necessary for things like WooCommerce or GiveWP or EDD, Paid Memberships Pro, any of these paid or membership type plugins that require your donors or your users to do something and see something different than other people see it. User switching is a great way to get that done. Honestly, like it's so trite, but the truth is Yoast SEO is just, you just got to have it. It just does so much good for your website. I can't imagine ever shipping any website without it. So it's got to be there. Some other good ones. I have to look at my admin, but I always have tons of ones that go on pretty much every single site.
Do you use a plugin for backing up, or do you do it a different way?
You know, a lot of people don't like it when their hosts do the backups, but I really like it because the hosts know how to do it in the most efficient way possible. Now you have to make sure your host is hosting that backup somewhere that you can access it. That's sometimes a problem. You have to be able to get to it if your site goes down, and you need to be able to bring it back up quickly. And that's what hosts can do too. They can be like, oh, your site's down, no problem. Just boom, here you go, you're up again. So I really like leaning on the host for that mm-hmm. in particular. I think that's a responsibility. Another plugin I love is Enhanced Media Library. We use that on all of our websites. It basically adds really smart tags and categories to the media library because finding just the right image when you have thousands of them on a website is impossible in the current WordPress media library. So using smart tags and categories for them is just really, really useful. It's got lots more features as well that I like as well, but that's a big one.
You don't want to scroll for days and days and days looking for that right image.
Or like what guess
I,
what it
what
was
What did
called.
I call it? Yeah, exactly.
DSC underscore.
And you can't really go into the files and look for it because they're sorted automatically by year and month. So when did I upload it? Exactly. No, that sounds like a good one. I've actually not used that one before, so I'm going to have to investigate it now and find out what that one's a little bit more about. When you were getting started with WordPress or at any point in your WordPress journey, did you have a mentor, whether it was an official mentorship or just somebody that kind of took you under their wing or that you kind of went to for advice? And who was it?
When I first started, I didn't, honestly. Adam McLean was really influential in just making me learn everything. He just pushed me. He was like, I don't know, I'm paying you to get it done. This is where I would go. This is what I would do. Go get it. Go at it. He was really good at that. But actually, earlier this calendar year, I sought out an opportunity. Corey Miller was hosting a short-term mastermind kind of course, and it was his guinea pig course, essentially. He's doing this on an ongoing basis now at a website he bought called leadership.team. It's pretty cool. Corey is just, I've always really liked Corey. And his perspective on mental health and his perspective on how he treats his employees. Every time I've had a chance to talk with him, I've learned a lot. So it was a good opportunity. I met some really great people through that meetup. So that was a good one.
That's awesome. Not mentioning anybody that you've already spoken about, who's somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why?
There's a lot, many. There's many, many.
I'll let you cheat and have a couple.
Oh, I don't want to play favorites.
It's not about favorites. It's who comes top of mind.
Yes, for sure. So there's a couple of folks. I can't pick one, so I'm going to cheat again, and I'll try to go rapid fire. But
okay.
If you don't know Teresa Jennings, a lot of people don't. But she's wonderful, and she has a lot of grit, and has a really, really, really powerful WordPress story that always inspires me. So she's up in LA, and we have a great story on our website about her, so everybody should check that out. Another All three of these are in LA, actually. Chris Ford, no, she's not in LA. Chris Ford is up in North County, San Diego. Chris Ford is just a dear, dear person. I really like her a lot. She and I always connect because she has a niece who she loves and adores who has Down syndrome. My youngest has Down syndrome. And so we always connect on that and always talk about it. And Chris just always has really great instincts about life and work and how to get things done and how to be a good person while doing all those things. And then another one who is in LA is Lucy Beer. I love Lucy Beer. She's great. Lucy, if you're out there, you rock. She just has always been a great inspiration to me in terms of support. She's just a really great support technician. She's really good at knowing who she is, what she does really well at, what she doesn't do well at, saying no to the things she doesn't do well at, and not letting it get to her, and moving on, and has just a big, 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 big heart for beginners and for people who are trying to learn and struggling. Every single time I've been asked to put together a beginner track at a WordCamp, she's my first call. Lucy Beer, will you come and do this beginner track with me?
That's awesome. And I love that all three of them were women. That like was pretty cool too. There you go.
I gotta list some guys too.
No, I'm okay. The feminist in me was happy. What's something that you'd
like? The list is long. Let's just say that. The list is very long.
And you are well-connected, so you know a lot of people that are incredibly inspirational in WordPress. I know that because I've seen you talk to people that I'm maybe even, and I'm not a shy person, but I would be like, wow, Matt knows him, Matt knows her, you know, kind of thing. I'm like, don't you want to introduce me?
So. And honestly, like, it's a little bit of a sidebar, but like, that is one of those things in the WordPress world that I think is so funny because, like I said, like, I did grow up with a lot of privilege, and so I am not afraid to talk to anybody. I feel like I have that right to do that, and I just was, like, raised that way, and I've learned over time that that's not normal, and it takes a lot of, like, work to make sure people feel welcomed, and they feel, you know, to be somebody who is welcoming to anybody who happens to come across my path or anybody's path. Like, and some people do that better than others, and some people are really bad at doing the opposite. Like, they can repel people instead of attract them. But it is a subject that I wish was better overall.
I understand.
Because you, of all people, should never feel ashamed or scared or intimidated to talk to anybody. Anybody would be very, very proud to talk with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm getting much better about it now. So this is, and having a podcast like this has made it even more comfortable. So that's pretty cool. Exactly. And like I said, I'm not afraid of much in this world, but I have a healthy respect for some certain situations. Let's just say that. Thinking of WordPress, what is something in the in WordPress itself that you'd like to learn that you haven't learned yet?
You know, that's a weird question at this stage. This is so weird. I have been mourning the amount of code I write, which is almost none. The way in which I operate and the way in which I work nowadays is just less and less WordPress-centric and more business-centric. And so when it comes to WordPress itself, the best way for me to answer that is to talk about the thing that I'm most interested in seeing happen. Like, I'm really interested in seeing how Gutenberg is going to take over the customizer. I think that's a really big step. Like, the editor, everyone has treated it like this gigantic, gigantic shift, which it was, like, no doubt. But taking over, essentially, the way in which WordPress websites themselves are built without any additional plugin at all, is a big undertaking. So we'll see how that goes. I'm really interested to see how that happens. I'm also really interested to see how essentially what happens with themes. It's related to that. Like, where we're going exactly in terms of are we actually going to need themes at all? Or are themes really going to almost be more like skins where you get to choose like a color palette and some default templates, and Gutenberg really does the rest. So whether I'm going to learn those things or not is a different question, but that's kind of the type of stuff I'm interested in a lot.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens over the next few years for sure. You know, and I know that most people that I know personally were not happy about the switch to Gutenberg, but those same people weren't happy when Facebook changed its colors and Google like shifted the second G by a pixel. So, you know, it's kind of like live and learn. And my the thing I always say is if it's free, you kind of got to learn to live with the changes too. And it's actually driven, yes, it's driven by some of the people who make bigger decisions, but it's also community driven. So, you know, a lot of communities involved in the changes. So it will definitely be interesting to see how things go. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made in WordPress and what did you learn from it?
In WordPress.
I call this question my great equalizer because everybody's made mistakes somehow.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, with technical support, I think every person's answer should be almost always the same because I think everybody has done this at one point or another. Messing with a customer site, a live customer site. Anytime you mess with a live customer site, be ready for pain and suffering. and I am not going to throw Ben under the bus, but he and I have a story that is a great example of that. And every time it comes up, I let him just talk and I hide my own stories of the exact same thing. like it's one of those things, like you think, oh yeah, I've dealt with hundreds of WordPress sites. I'm going to get in here. Oh, I know exactly what to do. And then it's like, oh, there's no more site. Okay.
Look, I white screened it.
This is bad. I mean, I'm really thankful for WordPress 5.2 that has this whole recovery mode now. That's such a great like user-oriented feature that's all about just like, let's make sure you keep having success on your website and not that you feel like a total failure because you enabled a plugin that wasn't working. So that's been a big deal too. Yeah, messing on live sites that aren't yours, that's bad.
that is probably one of the bigger mistakes, and you might made me think of one of the plugins that I often recommend is WP Rollback, which is one of yours, I believe. Is that not true?
We're proud of that one too. We just crossed 100,000 active installs on that.
It's amazing.
We love to joke about it in terms of like we always know when there's a big WooCommerce bug because all of a sudden we get a bunch of 5-star reviews for WP Rollback. Like, oh, my e-commerce site was like terrible. It fell apart and WP Rollback saved me. Like, oh, WooCommerce bug.
that's awesome.
Yoast had one. It was real big. All of a sudden we had like 10 reviews that were all like, Yoast killed my site. And that never happens. Yoast, if you're listening, that never happens officially. But whenever something like that happens, yeah, we know when it happens.
And WP Rollback, I always tell people there's no reason not to have it. It's free. It's in the WordPress plugin directory. Go download it, use it. You'll be so much happier that you did, for sure.
Yeah, that is a must-have. It is a must-have. That's a good reminder.
Yeah. What's one of your proudest WordPress moments?
Proudest? Oh, my goodness. Our WordCamp US last year? Oh, my goodness. I mean, we just had such a great time last year. And Michelle knows exactly what I'm talking about, but we had this big Airbnb all together. We had 10 people there and had a great time at the camp. And then afterwards, we all just wanted to like head back to the Airbnb and just chat and be together. And we seriously like just had just such a great time just bonding and talking about life. And we all talked about how, you know, just working for our company has changed our lives together. And that was honestly probably my proudest moment in all of WordPress, for sure.
It was absolutely a mountaintop experience for me as well. There were so many happy tears that day, that weekend, and the bonding that happened with us as as a group, and I like to say, it was funny that I am the only person in the entire company that had actually met every single other person in the company in person. Because I'd been at camps where all those people had been before. Even all three of you had not met everybody in person yet. So that was kind of fun to watch all of those connections happen. Yeah. And the hugs that happen, and it's like you pick up like you've been friends forever, even though you've only been friends on Slack and meetups but Google Meet and things like that. So yeah. It was really an amazing experience. So
I mean, tattoos were had. Oh my goodness.
I know. I love how you said to me beforehand, like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, why? Why is it important? And that you and I had a conversation at the end of it. You said, go for it, because you knew what it meant to me and that it wasn't about give, that it was about me and my experiences. So,
yeah, no, you had such a thoughtful response. And that was amazing.
And yet you all still shook your heads like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe these women just did that. Because it was all three of us. We went and did that. That was a lot of fun.
You should meet Dre Armada sometime. He's got some great tattoos, and he's one of the few that I know that has a full-on WordPress tattoo. I think.
Okay.
I forget where it is exactly. It's on one of his arms. He's got some great WordPress-related tattoos.
Well, if I'm still doing WP Coffee Talk at this time next year, I'll probably get that tattooed as well, because this has been so much fun.
Nice.
Let's see. If you weren't working in web or anything, web-based technologies, what's another career that you might like to attempt? Just for fun, even.
College professor. I was going for that before, and I'd go back to it again at some point. I really just enjoy being with people who want to excel and grow towards a common goal. And I think the college classroom is one of the best places to see that happen. Sure, there's plenty of folks who just don't care and don't want to be there. But on the whole, like young adult minds really want to succeed and move on and do great stuff. And if I can help empower that to happen in any way, it makes me happy. So.
It's pretty cool. You and I have a lot of similarities in our past, because I studied for the ministry. My undergrad was in religion and philosophy. I worked in higher ed for 20 years. So you and we're both musicians as well. So it's kind of cool, the similarities. And we're not the only two in the company for whom that's true. So it's kind of interesting how those attractions into the same spaces happen like that. So it's pretty cool. I know you hate this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's something on your bucket list, Matt? What was that?
Right, so I don't love the bucket list concept, because it's like, it makes me like, well, what am I doing to make these things happen? I'm not doing anything to make these things happen. I feel like a failure. It immediately makes me feel like, what am I doing with my life? But I love what I'm doing with my life. So that's why it's like this circular logic fail that always makes me like, I don't want to think about this crap. But there are some things for sure. Like I actually lived in Hawaii for a year and a half, but I've never been with my wife. So she and I have to go to Hawaii, and I hope that's sometime soon. That one's a must. I need to meet Barack Obama. It's like a big deal. Like I have to meet him. I won't go all partisan about it, but like I don't really, really like look up and admire. I don't really have like heroes, except for maybe Barack Obama, truth be told. And New Orleans, like I need to go there. I don't know the proper way to even say the city name, but
Nollins.
Yeah, that great Saturday Night Live skit. I don't know, but I need to go there. I need to have gumbo. I need to have a giant like crab fest thing where they have all the crab all over the table. I need to stay away from crocodiles. I don't want that. But
they're alligators, not crocodiles, but yes.
Yes, the blues and the bluegrass, I need all of it. The music, the food, it just has this, and like that they speak French there. Like New Orleans is like the weirdest, most unique thing in the United States, I think. And I just have to go there at some point.
I think you can make that happen for sure.
I hope so.
Yeah, for sure. So show us or tell us about something that's a hidden talent you have that the WordPress community might not be aware of.
I don't know if I can show or tell very well, but you did allude to the fact that I am a musician. Not very many WordPress folks know that. But my real music skill is not so much in music itself, but like writing and arranging. That's kind of like my strength. Writing and arranging is my strength there. I love to take really simple songs and gospelify them a little bit, make their chord progressions really deep and rich and more musically correct. I really enjoy that a lot. I do that privately, mostly.
That's cool.
That was one thing. I actually studied music education in my BA. And around my junior year, I came to this when it was basically way too late. I came to the realization, I don't ever want to do music. I don't want people to pay me to do music. Like, I can't, that's not why I do it. I don't do music, so people pay me, so I'm forced to be their, like, piano monkey. Like, I'm not going to do that. I immediately was like, all right, what am I going to do next? Because this is not it. And, the music, I really try to keep for myself.
And I think piano monkey is the funniest phrase that's come out of all of these WP Coffee Talks so far. I don't know if you know this, but I started my college career as a vocal performance major. Nice. And I stopped being a vocal performance major because I didn't want to compete. I didn't want music to become something that I didn't enjoy anymore. And I wanted to keep it as something that I enjoyed. So I switched from music to religion and philosophy. So once again, parallels. That's awesome. Anything else you'd like to add today? Well, I was going to talk about our distributed company. We didn't get to that yet. So talk for a minute or two about what you think about distributed. Now, I call it semi-distributed because we do have San Diego and Rochester. But talk a little bit about what it means to be a distributed company and how we manage to not feel like strangers.
Yeah. Well, I think the appropriate way to describe what we do is like a hybrid, essentially, which is essentially what Automatic was for a long time. They had a head office in San Francisco and then remote employees everywhere. And we've kind of kept that. And then you and your team started up the office in Rochester with this awesome ribbon cutting ceremony and everything, which was incredible. But so we basically have two offices and everybody else is remote. But there's a lot of talk about like being, whether you call it distributed or whether you call it remote or all kinds of stuff. It's maybe a distributed company that allows people to work remotely or whatnot. But even in San Diego, like I'm working from home today, and so is Taylor. Lots of folks in the SD office are working from home today. We all work from home on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday is work from home day. And that kind of thing to me is really important because it's important that because Slack is kind of our primary way that we connect as a company between each other, it's important that the folks who work in a local spot also practice working remotely so that you know what it's like to be on Slack and be like, are they paying attention? Are they ever going to answer me? Because when you're in the office, it's like, if I don't hear from Taylor, I just lean over and be like, hey, what's going on? And then she's like, oh, I was pulled off the headphones. I was distracted. And you don't get that when you're Slack only, you know? It's important to keep practicing that. But the things that we do to really try to bridge the gap, essentially, between having offices and being remote, if I could simplify it, it just really is mostly about appreciation and affirmation. Like, it's really important that I'm empowering Ben, for example, to do all the things that he needs to do to be successful with his family. I won't go into all of the details, but he's had some really cool and challenging family stuff going on for the last couple of years, actually. And in order for him to do that, he sometimes has to be like, oh, hey, I have to run and do this appointment suddenly, like unexpectedly. And instead of like, well, it's like, cool, let me know when you're back. That's what being remote, that's the benefit and the advantage of being remote. And like, I don't even have to say, well, just make sure you do an extra half an hour before. Like, I don't even have to say any of that. He just does it because he likes his job and he wants to get things done. And he likes that freedom and flexibility to be able to jump out and run and do his stuff. So, but besides that, other than like affirmation, appreciation, we also have to be pretty intentional about trying to make sure that we have as much more or less FaceTime as we can. I do think Google Meet is a really important tool for our company because even talking over Meet is better than just over Slack or, you know, Slack calls or whatever. But Jason in particular, he tries to always come out to Rochester at least once a year, maybe twice a year. Mm-hmm. We always make a big deal out of WordCamp US as kind of like a company touch point where we try to get as many people there as possible. I really had a great time last year going to Orlando where I got to hang out for a few days with Ben and Sam. So always trying to make FaceTime happen as much as possible. And be intentional in that way. That's really important. We also had this really, really fun milestone where we just crossed 300 five-star reviews. And we've always said that, you know, when that milestone came that we wanted to have a party. But we have Ravinder and Mehul who are in India and folks on the East Coast, folks on the West Coast. You know, what can you eat when it's 10 o'clock in the morning for somebody and, you know, 1 o'clock for others and 11:30 at night for others. I ended up organizing a multinational pizza party to try to get pizza to everybody's house. Everybody got pizza. And we all jumped on the hangout all at the same time, roughly. That was the earliest pizza I've had in the day ever. And we all got to celebrate that milestone together over the Google Hangout. So that was a lot of fun. Those kinds of things take intentionality, but they make everybody feel appreciated, affirmed, and that they are all important, necessary parts of our team.
I also like that you encourage us to have fun. So we do things through Slack that are just fun. And you know, it's like the first week or two that I was involved, I was like, if I jump into this conversation for fun, is it going to be like she wasn't working? No, because that's the water cooler talk is on Slack because we're not all in the same office. So, you know, we issue these little challenges to make your status something funny in a theme or, you know, we all pile on Matt about his use of what was the word? Theming, whether there's two E's or one E in theming. There's just things like that. And whether it's GIF or JIF, and we're not going to go into that right now, but all of those things we have.
I'm prepared for all of this. I can go anytime you want. I'm ready.
It's all good. We'll keep it on Slack. but our random channel is a lot of fun. We each have our own emoji. So we have a lot of fun with using emojis and Slack and that kind of stuff. So I just, you know, want to say publicly too, I really appreciate how you, all the three of you, you know, foster that environment that helps us grow as a community by encouraging the fun aspect of how we can work from literally thousands of miles apart and still feel like we belong to the team. So thanks
for that. Absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. I want to have fun. So
exactly. The last thing I'm going to ask you is how do we find you? I mean, I know how to find you, but how do we find you online and in social media?
I'm in lots of places. Usually if you just like call my name loud enough, I'll probably end up showing up somewhere. But, through all of our websites, givewp.com and impress.org and wpbusinessreviews.com. Almost anything you do there gets to me eventually. And then mattcromwell.com, you know, use that if you like. I have some old school tutorials there for fun. Learn with Matt C is my Twitter handle. that's really most of what I use. Facebook, I'm on Facebook, but I don't really friend folks all that much.
You you do manage the Advanced WordPress group that Advanced you mentioned WordPress. Earlier.
Yep, Advanced WordPress. You'll find me there too. That's a great group to be part of. We're working on our website, advancedwp.org. It's going to be coming up, ideally, hopefully, as something that you might want to look to as a resource eventually. So.
Awesome. Very good. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight, Matt. It's nice to have a different experience with you than work-related or WordCamp-related. So thank you for being here and having a fun chat with me this evening.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Actually, it's almost evening where you are, so I can say this evening because it's like about 5 o'clock there now. So So I will, as Devin says, every Tuesday, I will see you on Slack.
See you on Slack.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much.
Thank you.